L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card...
Right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at KyleYNFL. Guys, how are you today?
Feeling like Ice Cube because today was a good day. Published the primer, 1 of 16 down. I don't know. I feel good. I feel really good. I'm kind of in a time warp right now, and I'm hoping that continues for the next like 4 months. But yeah, what's up, Yates?
I'm feeling good too, man. I'm just settling into the in-season grind, figuring out what the heck my life is going to be like. You've got the advantage of figuring out. You've been through this for how many years now? So for me, I'm trying to figure out what the heck I'm doing.
You could take my workload for a week and then I'll figure
I'm
out
gonna
yours.
I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to pass on that big time. Big time pass.
For me, this is the hardest week because we were just talking. I had a salary cap draft last night and I have a draft tonight on Wednesday, the night before the season. So I'm still quasi in like transitioning from season long mode into just week one mode. So it's a little crazy, but that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be doing some start, sit, take a look at some of the guys who are borderline, who we feel are starts, some others who we, you know, might look like definite starts, who we have some questions on, some deep sleepers, some quarterback and DST streamers. And then we're going to quickly end on a breakdown of the Thursday night game between the Texans and the Chiefs. Two things before we get going. You heard yesterday Yates yelled at me for not having the winner of our giveaway. My bad. It's fair. I failed. It's not going to be the last time. I will rectify that mistake now by announcing the winner of our monster giveaway. It is Scott from Appleton, Wisconsin. Congratulations, Scott. Tags and I are extremely happy for you. I cannot speak for Yates. He rarely takes joy in the happiness of others.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's true, Yates. Don't lie. If you entered the contest and you are not Scott from Wisconsin, do not be concerned because we are running another monster giveaway for the month of September. The only thing is that instead of the Davante Adams signed helmet, it is a Clyde Edwards-Helaire signed helmet. So it is just as good. Again, same thing. Go to fantasypros.com/contest for all the details on how to enter. Now, this is a Start Sit podcast, as you know, but it is far from the only Start Sit resource that we at Fantasy Pros are going to offer. I'm talking about our Start Sit assistance, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. If you are not using my playbook, if you are not using our Start Sit assistance, then you are not maximizing your chances of winning your league. Gives you recommendations on who to start each week, including a percentage of experts who would start a particular player. You can set your lineups straight from my playbook. You can use our multi-league mode, submit your lineups to your respective league hosts, even on different platforms. It's an edge that you can get nowhere else. Again, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Now, the Start Sit Assistant, just one of the many, many amazing features in our My Playbook tools. If you are an MVP or a Hall of Fame subscriber, you get the autopilot feature. Yates has mentioned this like 50 times, even just in private, talking about how important it is, especially this year with all the COVID-19 concerns. You don't even have to set your lineup if you don't want. It will submit your optimal lineup for you. Or you can set your lineup and have it swap out inactive players. Or you can just get an email notification every time your optimal lineup changes again this year more than ever. The amazing autopilot feature is essential if you're going to maximize your chances of winning each week. And if you don't yet have a Hall of Fame subscription, we have got a special $10 offer for 6 months of our Hall of Fame package. That's the best we offer. Just go to fantasypros.com/offers for more details on it. Finally, before we get into it, we have been touting our tools for a while now. I used our draft assistant with our salary cap draft last night. All of my teams are in my playbook. We are going to be producing content Sunday morning, so we'll all need to make sure our inactives are caught with the autopilot feature. I'm not sure we've ever actually stopped for a second just to talk about how amazing our development team is. The three of us work as hard as we can to bring you the best content we can, but it's nothing compared to what our dev team does. They are incredible. They work their butts off. They are innovative. They are brilliant. And above all, they care so much about making sure that you guys have the best products out there. And I see it from our side, right? When they know that you guys are getting a lot from our tools, when they know that you guys are happy with the tools, that's all they care about. And that's why they do all the work they do. So above all, I want to say thank you to our dev team for all the hours that they put in over the last several months, for all the hours that they are undoubtedly going to continue to put in for the next several months, and for making the draft assistant in particular, so that my son knew that 0% of experts would be drafting Sony Michel in the fourth round of like a 10-team half PPR draft. I mean, it didn't save him completely, but it saved him from a couple of weird picks. All right, let's get into the start sit. All right, guys, so everybody knows our expert consensus rankings. We call it ECR for short. That's analysts from all around the industry submitting their rankings each week, so you can get the aggregate of what's available. And look, the top four running backs in our ECR right now for week one are Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, and Saquon Barkley. Other than my son, you know that you're going to start those guys over guys like James White. So we are not going to be talking about those guys. We're going to be talking about more like the fringe players here, the guys who are right on the edge of whether or not you want to start them, but guys who we think right now, which we'll start with, guys we do like a little bit more, who might be outside the range of where you're definitely starting them, and then later some guys that we like a little less than guys who look like they may be definite starts. So let's start with running backs here. Let's start, guys, with running backs who are outside the top 20 in our half PPR expert consensus rankings. Tagsarama, let's start with you. Who do you got here as a start for a running back outside the top 20?
Jonathan Taylor. You know, we've talked about it all offseason. I've been saying that, you know, week one, you're never going to get that discount on Jonathan Taylor again. What's going to happen is he's going to go out there, he's going to establish his dominance, he's going to take over this backfield, and there may even be enough for Marlon Mack to be flex viable this week because they're playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that allowed 205.2 total yards per game to running backs last year. They lost Calais Campbell on the defense this year, they lost Yannick, but Campbell's the big one. All right, Calais Campbell, when he was on the field last year, they were good against the
literally
run.
The big one.
Yeah, well, yes, but they, when he was off the field last year, like when he'd take plays off or whatever, he missed time for whatever reason, they allowed 5.76 yards per carry. Playing behind this offensive line against this team, they're heavy favorites. You know, they're 8-point favorites. I was looking at it at the end of last year when Jacksonville really went downhill. They still had Campbell on the team at that point, but there were three of the last four teams that played them. It had at least 30 running back touches. I think one had like 35 touches. So even if you want to, you know, give 12, 14 touches away to Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor is going to be involved. And I believe this is the week where things just take off and people say, oh no, this is why people were saying not to fade Jonathan Taylor, because he is good and he should be started this week.
Yeah, I'm going to actually, Yaze, before we get to you, what Tag said leads into mine. And for me, it's actually Mac. He was the guy who was on my list. He's 30 in expert consensus rankings. I have him 24th. So he is a guy who I would be starting as an RB2, basically for all the reasons that you said, Tags. But I do think at this point, there is plenty of room for both of those guys to eat in week one against the soft defense. Again, you're right. You know, when you look at Vegas lines, that's how you're going to get a sense of what the game scripts are going to be. They're going to run the ball all the time. I think Mac is going to have, you know, at least 12 touches, probably between 12 and 15. I think he's got a pretty good shot to get into the end zone. So for me, that's a guy for week one. I agree. It's probably going to be Jonathan Taylor's coming out party. But again, I think they're going to win pretty handily. I think there's going to be plenty of room for both backs. So both backs are start for me. But actually, it was Mac, who was 30 in half PPR rankings, who I have closer to an RB2 that I would be starting out of that range. How about you, Yates?
I'm going to bring up Le'Veon Bell. And this is not necessarily like I've been one to say, like, I really just did not want to draft Le'Veon Bell this year. But for week one, if you did end up with Le'Veon Bell on your team, I think you can safely start him this week because you're looking at the options that they have in this wide receiver room. Rashad Perryman is dealing with a knee flare-up. Like, he might not even be ready to go for this week. If he does play, there's no telling that he's going to play the entire game. Then you have Denzel Mims, who's coming off his own injury. He's a rookie. He's probably not going to adjust super quick. And then you have Jamison Crowder and Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan's not going to be a huge target hog. Jamison Crowder is a must-start, in my opinion, in full PPR leagues. But where are the targets going to go? They're not going to go to Frank Gore. And so I think even though Le'Veon Bell might not see a ton of work on the ground, I think he's going to, you know, split those carries with Frank Gore. He could be heavily targeted. And so if you're in any sort of PPR format, I think Le'Veon Bell can be safely ruled out as a low, like a mid RB2, low end RB2, just based on his receiving game involvement. I don't think he's going to fall into the end zone. The Vegas only has the Jets implied with 17 total points in this game. I could see that being under, which is gross, but just as far as Le'Veon Bell is concerned, his involvement in the receiving game will sustain him for fantasy football this week.
No, I think Bell, you were saying, I think he could safely be started this week. I think Bell can safely be started every week, to be honest
Correct.
With you. And
that
I just
want
right. to, I mean, I'm kind of almost like tired of the narrative that Le'Veon Bell sucks. And I said it when he went to New York. I said he's not going to be the same running back he was in Pittsburgh, but he still does not suck. He's not horrendous. This Jets offensive line does have five new starters. They're going to go through some difficulties, but it can't be any worse than it was last year, right? And he still was a guy that was producing RB2 numbers more often than not. I think there were only 10 running backs in the league that had RB2 type numbers more than Le'Veon Bell did last year. So I'm tired of that narrative. And I've got Le'Veon Bell. I wasn't high on him this year at all. I got him in a draft last night. It was a 12-team league. I got him in the sixth round. I got him in an auction last week. I think it was for $12 of a $200 budget. People are so down on Le'Veon Bell. He's going to be able to be started most weeks. And just a little tidbit, the Bills under Sean McDermott, they've played 48 regular season games. They've allowed 44 rushing touchdowns under McDermott. So they're not a team that you want to throw the ball against. I'm with Yates on this one. I think that Le'Veon Bell is a fine start as a low-end RB2.
I'm with Yates. I'm more with you into everything you just said. And again, we are essentially past draft season. Although, again, I have one tonight and some people may still be drafting after they listen to this. The hate on Le'Veon Bell from a fantasy perspective went way too far. And I get Frank Gore is there and I get Adam Gase is a terrible coach. But Le'Veon Bell is going to have a huge role. He's going to be heavily involved in the passing game. And yes, you think about last year, their offensive line. Yeah, we talked about it. It's all new, so they're going to take some time to gel. It can't be worse than what you saw last year. They had Luke Falk starting for them for a couple of games. Like, it's just not going to be that bad. He's going to get work. And again, Bell's gone after this year. What is the incentive to be like, well, we don't want to waste him in a year where we're going to get 5 or 6 wins? He's going to be a value pick. And at this point, if you haven't drafted yet, yeah, he's a guy who you're not like, woohoo, Le'Veon Bell, but he's a guy who, I mean, the value is there in every draft, in every auction. So he's certainly won this week. I agree, Yates. I have him 20th, so I'm certainly starting him. Let me ask you about a couple of other guys. I want to get, you know, they're ranked close to each other, so I would just want to get your feeling. First, let me briefly ask you about what you do with the Tampa Bay running backs right now. You've got, it's not a good matchup, okay, against New Orleans, obviously. But out of curiosity, okay, how are you feeling on how it's going to break down, Ronald Jones versus Leonard Fournette, and whether or not you think you would be willing to start either one as a flex play? Let's go to tags first.
I don't think it matters which way you dice up the touches. This is not a good matchup at all. Last year under Bruce Arians, this team ran for 76 yards in both games combined, okay, on 24 carries. 76 yards on 24 carries. There was a touchdown in the first game, but the Saints last year, because of the way they play, because of everything that takes place, they faced just 285 carries all last season. That amounts to 17.8 carries per game. That was the lowest in the NFL. They allowed just 3.65 yards per carry. This defense has continually gotten better. The Bucs do have a new piece on their offensive line, which should help. I'm not saying it won't, but I just don't see this as a great matchup for them. Going on the road, they're underdogs. Ronald Jones, they were saying he's the starter until he loses it. Now all of a sudden Leonard Fournette's going to have a role. I think Jones is the best play. I have him as an RB3, a low upside RB3. I think if Ronald Jones does not score in this game, he's not going to live up to top 30 running back numbers. I really believe that. So it's basically touchdown or bust for him. Same thing with Leonard Fournette to a lesser extent, because he's not going to be involved in the passing game right away. So Fournette is just an RB4 that's touchdown dependent. So I'm not excited about either of these guys in this matchup. It's a matchup that you don't have to get excited about it. If they were playing let's say if they were playing a defense like the Jags or something like that, we could try and figure this out a little bit more. But being against the Saints, I'm not really excited about it.
I actually think that it's beneficial that they're playing the Saints, not because it's a good matchup. It's precisely because it's a bad matchup. You don't have to worry about which guy to start because you should be starting neither of them, right? You can sit back and say, let me see how this is going to play out without doing that on your roster. Whereas if they had a super soft matchup, you'd be like, well, I have to get a piece of that. And you just kind of be guessing. So I agree with you there. Yates, let me ask you, I'm going to give you three guys who are really close in ECR. Okay. And I just want to know which of these guys you'd have to start if you had all three of them on your roster. Okay. You've got Cam Akers against Dallas, Kareem Hunt against Baltimore, and James White against Miami. Let's go half PPR league here so you split the baby a little bit. So Cam Akers, Kareem Hunt, James White. Who are you starting if you have all three of those in one spot?
It honestly might be Cam Akers, but it's gonna come with the caveat if Henderson is out, then like absolutely fire up Cam Akers because I think he's going to be the clear guy. If Henderson plays, I still think he's going to be limited, but he'll still see some work that'll take away Akers' overall upside. When you look at Kareem Hunt, the Baltimore matchup is not fantastic. Like that's still a very good defense. They lost some pieces, sure, but it's still a very good defense. And so Hunt could be fine in a full PPR format, but he's just not someone that I'm excited about starting. And then it's the same thing with James White. We just don't know what this Patriots backfield is going to look like. Is it going to be Sony Michel? Is it going to be Rex Burkhead? Is it going to be James White, you know, seeing a buttload of targets, right? Like, we just don't know that yet. So it's a fine matchup. I'm just not confident in starting him. So if I had all three of those guys, Akers is the one that I might be rolling out as my RB2 or flex option because at that point, he has tremendous upside. In this matchup, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys and Rams, this could very easily turn into a high-scoring affair. And so I want pieces of this game, and Akers would be the guy that I would be rolling out.
What about you, Tex?
Yeah, Akers would be the one I'd choose to. I think he's got the best shot at a touchdown. The safest role with Daryl Henderson missing the last, like, you know, couple weeks or week, whatever it has been, because he hasn't practiced. I'm guessing they're going to say he's behind, and they're going to use that as an excuse to play Akers. I do think Malcolm Brown is going to be involved a little bit more than people think. It could be like a 60-40 type split. But at the same time, Akers is in the best shot for a touchdown there against Dallas. So I'm not excited about many of those guys, but if there's one week where Akers might produce more than I thought he would coming into the season, it's this one.
Okay, real quick, let's do this again, okay? We'll go to tags here for the best of the three, okay? Jordan Howard at New England, Phillip Lindsay against Tennessee, or J.K. Dobbins against Cleveland.
Dobbins is not even in the conversation right now. He came out as fourth on the depth chart, and I'm not saying that that's correct or whatever, but I think it means that he's going to start with like a 6 to 8 touches in a game, and that's not going to get it done. I'm going with Phillip Lindsay here. This game is taking place in Denver, and Melvin Gordon has reportedly had some trouble adjusting to the Denver altitude. And that's a real thing that players talk about. And then obviously when they came in, they said this was going to be a bell cow backfield. And they said Phillip Lindsay has forced them to change their approach and maybe have a little buyer's regret on Melvin Gordon. So Phillip Lindsay is a guy that has earned himself into a 50-50 timeshare. And if you look at the matchup against Tennessee last year, he played really well against them. So I'm going to say Lindsay. If I own both Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, I would be extremely torn on which one to play this week. I do think Gordon would probably get the goal line carries. So I do have him one spot higher. But Phillip Lindsay is a fine RB3 this week.
Yeah, I like Lindsay as well. And again, Howard is a guy who I don't mind rostering. You know, I do think he was a little undervalued this year in drafts, but not against New England. Even with all the opt-outs, I think, you know, their run defense is going to be still pretty strong. And I agree, Dobbins is more of a wait and see. So I'm okay if you're in a pinch rolling out Lindsay, at least as a flex. All right, before we keep going here, let's briefly talk about Pristine Auction. Do you remember that signed Devontae Adams helmet that I mentioned that we included in our last giveaway? Do you remember that signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet that we're including in our current Monster giveaway? Both of those from Pristine Auction, your one-stop shop for sports and other memorabilia. Look, Jamal Adams may be gone from the Jets, but he will never be gone from my heart. And his signed jersey, which I got from Pristine Auction, is never going to be anywhere but right by my side. PristineAuction.com offers you the opportunity to search for whatever you want, every type of sports memorabilia. Thousands of auctions every day, free to register, free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And if you actually have the desire to win something, you are going to win something. You know how your kids are always asking you if they can have extra TV or extra dessert nonstop? And because they ask so many times, you occasionally just aren't paying attention and accidentally give them approval for something? That's kind of what it's like with Pristine Auction, except instead of extra TV, you're just getting memorabilia at insane prices because there are just so many auctions that a lot of times these items just sneak through at ridiculous prices. Both a signed Devontae Parker jersey and a signed DeSean Jackson jersey went for less than $41 yesterday. That's just how it goes. Ridiculous deals constantly. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Thousands of auctions, ridiculously affordable prices, free to register and free to bid. And if you want $5 in credits, just use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Go check them out. You will not be disappointed. All right, let's go to wide receiver starts here. Let's go 30th or beyond guys that you might be looking to start. Let's start with you, Yates, since we started with tags on the last one. Who's a guy who you're looking to start this week in that range?
I'm pulling it up right now, but I'm assuming Anthony Miller is outside the top 30.
You are not incorrect. That's right.
That's such a weird way of phrasing that.
I know. You know why? I tried to, I was going to be like funny with it coming in, but I was just like, no, wait, obviously he's outside the top 30. Go ahead.
He's wide receiver 41 in ECR right now. Yeah, I want Anthony Miller in my starting lineup. The last time that Anthony Miller played against the Detroit Lions was on Thanksgiving Day last year, and he saw 13 targets for 9 receptions and 140 total yards. So I think that was, granted, we can look back and we can say, okay, well, the tight end position wasn't what it is now. And granted, that's not anything substantial, but we've all been in on Anthony Miller this year and saying that he could absolutely be a value and absolutely break out this year. So in this game, even though it's Trubisky at quarterback, Miller has been receiving rave reviews out of camp. He's someone that I absolutely want to start this week. And I think that he has absolute boom potential, but comes with a very safe floor too.
Yeah, I really was hoping that Foles won the job just because I think that would have been better for Miller. But like you said, all of us are excited about it. It's a good matchup against Detroit. How about you, Tags? Outside the top 30 here, who are you starting?
I mean, I love Anthony Miller. That's a great call. The two best games of Anthony Miller's career have been against the Lions. I love that call. Really, Anthony Miller is my number 33 wide receiver on the week.
Wow.
His ECR is 41. I love him. I could make a case for him to be higher. He's going to be a DFS favorite.
Yeah, I've met 31 for context. Yeah.
If I'm going to nitpick the ECR, I would say Tyler Boyd because he's at 32, but I'll go a little bit further back. I'll say that DeSean Jackson is a guy that you probably got.
Dang it.
That's the guy, by the way. Dang I'm it. Sorry. Just to be clear, that is the winner of the who is outside the top 30.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is the most obvious start in the history of the start. Go ahead, Tag.
No, Jalen Reagor's not going to play. He's listed as doubtful. He's not going to play. Alshon Jeffrey's not going to play. They're playing against Washington. I mean, come on, guys. They replaced a washed up Josh Norman with a washed up Ronald Darby, a guy that came from the Philadelphia Eagles. So DeSean Jackson, I would imagine at least 7 targets this week. And obviously he's a guy that doesn't require much volume to get it done. Miles Sanders reportedly might be eased into action considering he's missed the last couple weeks of camp. DeSean Jackson, it's seemingly an every week tradition where he just kind of goes off in week one. And then from there, you kind of have to pick your spots. But most people don't even realize that DeSean Jackson has been a wide receiver 3 or better in half of his games over the last 3 years. So, I mean, you're getting a 50-50 shot on a guy that you got as your wide receiver 5, and then you put in a plus matchup when there's no other receivers to get targets in that offense. I love DeSean Jackson and Zach Ertz this week.
Can I ask you something? He's 35th in half PPR expert consensus rankings. Where do you have him?
I have him at 31 right now.
I'm 24th.
And I'm 16.
You're
16?
Yeah. 16. All right. You know Yates, though, Tag. This is how Yates rolls. Yates has to go hot. Yates
how is there not any way that he finishes as a top 20 receiver if he's the clear-cut target leader in this offense?
I mean, he's never going to get double-digit targets. That's not going
to
happen.
I mean, he doesn't need to. You have Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as the opposing two wide receivers. Yes, Zach Ertz is going to be targeted, of course. But if Sanders is eased in, how does DeSean Jackson not see 9 targets, 10 targets?
I think he's around 7 or 8 because I think they blow out Washington. I don't think it's a really close game.
Although we thought that last year, obviously, and didn't exactly work out that way in week one, right? Although DeSean Jackson, 8 catches, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns in week one. But still, yeah, no, I agree. Sorry, Tex, I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way.
No,
I do agree
fine.
With that. I do think that the Eagles, that's the thing. I don't think they're going to need to throw a crazy amount in this game to necessarily win it. I think they'll play, relatively conservatively. I don't think they're going to completely air it out. And again, he's just not a guy who sees 10 targets. I get you're like, well, who else is available? There's enough, between Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, a guy who I might mention a little later.
Would you rather start DeSean Jackson or Terry McLaurin, who faces Darius Slay?
McLaurin.
McLaurin. Yes. McLaurin at 18.
The same. I have an 18 as well.
Yeah, 18. That's right. Tags all.
And I don't think, by the way, I don't think Darius Slay shadows. I think Philadelphia, well, unless they change their defensive scheme, they have not shadowed under Jim Schwartz.
The type of corner like Slay before, but it's very possible. I'm just pointing out they haven't had the type of corner like Slay.
The one thing also I want to point out is that this is the hardest week for weekly rankings, right? Because we haven't actually seen what, you know, we don't even have the benefit of preseason games to see like, oh, maybe this is what they're going to do. So we are, you know, everybody's flying a little blinder than you would be otherwise. But again, it's something where we're just going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, I love the aggressiveness, Yates. I was like 24, man, come on, get him up there. And you're, as always, I'm always like, look at me, look, I'm high. And you're like 13 spots too low. Okay, let's talk about a couple. Let's do the same thing I did with running backs here. Let me give you three guys who are ranked right around each other. I have to go with Tags here because I have to fill my AJ Green quota for the day. These are three guys, Tags. Obviously, one of them is Green, who I don't expect to have positive matchups here with their opposing cornerbacks. Let's go Devontae Parker against the Patriots, probably Stephon Gilmore. You've got AJ Green, and let's talk about Tyler Boyd, because you touched on him. You know, really, they get the Chargers. You're probably going to have Casey Hayward and Chris Harris Jr., right? So who do you want to start out of those three guys if you had to choose one?
Well, it's Boyd. And the reason it's Boyd is because what you just mentioned, Casey Hayward and Chris Harris Jr. on the perimeter. That's where Green's going to be spending the majority of his time. John Ross, Tyler Boyd's like a slot receiver. He's going to play there, you know, 70% of the time. You know, they do have a good slot cornerback in Desmond King, a guy. But when I dug into that a little bit more, he has allowed an 82% catch rate over the last 2 years. So it's not like he's someone that like legitimately will completely shut him down. I don't think it's going to be a massive day for Tyler Boyd, but I do think that it's going to be very, especially in your like in a PPR format, I think he's going to live up to high end wide receiver three numbers this week. So knowing that AJ Green is maybe on a snap count, they're talking about that. Like we've heard whispers of that, and knowing again, he hasn't been on the football field since 2018. I have AJ Green down at wide receiver 30. I might move him down a little bit more based on what we see in practice from him this week, just because, again, it's his first game with Joe Burrow. It's Joe Burrow's first game. There's probably going to be some
I've got him 32. I got him 32, Tag. So I'm right there with you around with Green. Just so I don't think that's crazy or anything like that, unless reports come out that he's going to be significantly limited or anything like that. Okay, how about let's go to a different set of three guys here, Yates, for you. Let's go a little lower, but still guys who are right on the borderline here of wide receiver three territory in our expert consensus rankings. Deontay Johnson against the Giants, John Brown against the Jets, or you mentioned him a little earlier, Jamison Crowder against the Bills.
I want Deontay Johnson. I want Deontay Johnson in my lineup this week against the Giants defense. And even if Big Ben doesn't come back and comes back and he's not what he was in 2018, there's still going to be enough volume here for Johnson to be returned wide receiver three value. So John Brown absolutely has the potential to go off against the Jets corners where there really isn't anyone of note. But again, this could be a matchup where Buffalo just runs the ball down their throat, right? And so leaves very little passing volume for Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown. You're relying on Brown to score a touchdown to return that value. And then with Jamison Crowder, it would give me more pause in a full PPR league. But when we're talking about half, I'm still going to give the edge there to Deontay Johnson. Again, it's just the scoring opportunities here. I think Johnson has a better opportunity to score rather than Crowder.
Out of curiosity, Tags, are you in agreement with that? Because I also have Johnson the highest out of Johnson, John Brown, and Jamison Crowder in half PPR leagues.
I have Crowder the highest. Deontay Johnson I do like. I think he's fine. But he's probably... So if Juju's going to play in the slot the majority of the time like they're talking about, that means James Bradbury is going to be the guy that sees Deontay Johnson a lot. And Bradbury's actually a pretty good cornerback. I think people like missed that move this offseason. He went from Carolina to New York. But Crowder, if you look at that... He had two of the top three games against the Bills last year among wide receivers. In the two games, he had 22 receptions, 165 yards, and a touchdown. The other top game, he had two of the top three. The other top one was Jarvis Landry, another slot-heavy wide receiver. So clearly, that's the weak spot in their defense. They do have Tre'Davious White there, who's going to basically just eliminate whatever perimeter wide receiver that he's on. They really don't have any. So Jamison Crowder is going to get peppered with targets. Chris Herndon, people could talk about him, but they've been really, really good against tight ends the last few years. Like, their safeties are pretty good in coverage. So Jamison Crowder and Le'Veon Bell, I expect those guys to rack up targets this week. Whereas Deontay Johnson, I think it's possible with them going on the road, Ben's first game back, that they kind of limit his pass attempts and they give James Conner is like a must start, obviously.
Yeah, I love James Conner this week.
I think it's possible they just limit Ben Roethlisberger's pass attempts just because it is his first game back off this surgery. He might take a hit here and there. And that's the only reason I'm being a little cautious on Juju and Deontay Johnson. So I'll say Crowder.
All right. For me, I mean, they're all close. I think there's five spots separating the three of them, but I have Johnson slightly ahead. I would like to put in a request to do all podcasts right after Tags finishes the primer, because there's just so much information right in his head that's just like dying to come out at all times. All right, before we keep going, if you're listening to this podcast and you are somehow unaware that NFL football starts this week, then I'm a little concerned about your attention span. But assuming you are aware that football is starting and you know that all other sports are back, well, then that means you know it's time to play FanDuel. You know FanDuel already. You create a new team every game. You get different contests across all sports in relation to your skill level. It is a super easy app to use, and you compete for cash payouts. So maybe your drafts didn't go quite as well as you had planned. Who cares? You can build a new team each week and win cash prizes. And guess what? New users can play for free this NFL season. No deposit required. Just sign up for an account, and FanDuel is going to give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. So you risk no money for the opportunity to win money. That is a really good strategy to make a profit. But let's say you want to make a deposit when you sign up. FanDuel's got your back. It's offering up to a $500 bonus when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play right now. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, let's move here to quarterbacks. Again, we're outside the top 12 here in expert consensus rankings. Let's start with you, Tags, because I assume that Yates is just going to say Mitchell Trubisky. So we can go here first. Tags, who's somebody outside the top 12 who you're considering starting?
I mean, I do like Mitch. I have him ranked at quarterback 15 this week. I think that I'm not kidding. I think he could be
guys.
Do we need to get into this, Dan? Do we not?
No. I don't want anybody. I don't want a Mitchell Trubisky to take over our start sit discussion.
I just want you to tell you the reason I like there. The reason I like him as a streamer. The reason I'm saying this is because he's played the Matt Patricia defense three times under Matt Nagy. In those games, his results: 355 yards and three touchdowns. He had another touchdown rushing, 173 yards and three touchdowns. And then most recently, 338 yards and three touchdowns with one interception. They lost their best player in Darius Slay. They lost their best player. David Montgomery might be hurt. Even if he plays, I expect him to be somewhat limited. They might go with like a West Coast type offense, get the ball in Cordarrelle Patterson's hands, get it in Tariq Cohen's hands, get it in Anthony Miller's hands. They don't have anybody to defend Allen Robinson. I mean, they have their number three overall pick, Jeff Okuda, who has not played a regular NFL game. Like,
Robinson's gonna cook him.
So here's the last stat I'm gonna give you, Dan. There were four quarterbacks who failed to finish as top 12 quarterbacks against the Lions last year. Just four. And two of those quarterbacks were rookies in their first four NFL starts. Trubisky, he's perfectly fine as a streamer.
Where do you have him ranked, Dan?
First of all, I would like to offer my response to everything Tags just said, and that is that Mitch Trubisky sucks. I rest my case.
Counter argument.
No, and please, by the way, no hate mail. Mitchell Trubisky is better at being a quarterback in football than I will ever be at anything in my entire life. He's a perfectly fine football player. I didn't mean that. I was just teasing Tags. Don't yell at me. Look, is it out of the range of possibilities that Mitch Trubisky finishes as a QB1 this week, given the matchup? No, it's not, if everything that goes well. But no, I have him as like a barely a QB2 streamer. I have a 24th overall. And it's just like, this is the bottom line, okay? Maybe also it's part of my philosophy when I'm going in to week one of the NFL season, which is we just finished up drafts. I'm not really well, even if I waited, I'm just not willing to be like, you know what? Here's a guy. It didn't sound like he was overly impressive in camp. It really does sound, we talked about this a little bit offline, that they gave him the job most likely because if you go to Nick Foles, you can't go back to Trubisky, right? You got to go to Trubisky and then you can pull the plug. So I'm not looking to start Mitchell Trubisky in any league, any size whatsoever. I will allow for a very, very streaming option in two quarterback leagues. That's it. Again, we can get into this a little more, but frankly, I think if we spend more than 2 minutes talking about Mr. Trubisky on the Start Sit podcast, we've done things wrong. So that's going to be your answer, Tags. Let's go to Yates. Who do you got outside top 12?
I'm going to go Cam Newton. He's sitting right outside that. He's at 13 right now. So this is a little bit of cheating.
Cheating. It's following the rules.
Yeah,
well
Tags,
done, Yates.
Don't give me that.
I'm just messing with him.
The whole reason why I was talking about Cam Newton all throughout draft season as someone to target if you are going to deploy the late QB strategy was that he has a great matchup against Miami week one, and you're going to know right away whether or not Cam Newton is back to full health and back to the old Cam Newton. and that is a rushing quarterback. And rushing quarterbacks do amazing things for fantasy football. So Cam Newton is a guy that I will recommend here. If you want me to go a little bit later, I will go Tyrod Taylor.
Like it.
Tyrod, yes. Taylor is someone, correct, kind of the same reasoning there against the Cincinnati Bengals defense that added some pieces this offseason, but yet didn't take any, like, they're not going to be suddenly a top 10 unit. So when you have a quarterback like Tyrod Taylor who can simply get the ball into Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler's hands and let them create after the catch and then carries that rushing upside, he's someone that I am projecting to have kind of around that QB1 upside this week.
Yeah, I both of those guys were the guys on my list. Also, I would like to just say in advance that if Mitchell Trubisky has a huge week 1, I will be asking off the Sunday night recap show. So that's just going to be canceled, guys. We're actually doing a live stream right now. Go to youtube.com/fantasypros for that podcast on Sunday night, 7:15. Tune in or listen to it. But if Mitchell Trubisky has a huge week 1, it will just not be there because I'm just out.
All right. Can I throw in just one more? Gardner Minshew. I think I wanted to mention him just because I actually have him ranked as my number 12 quarterback. And I would play him over Trubisky, to be fair. But I don't know. I just felt like we should have talked about Mitch for a minute.
No. I was teasing only there. I do have him 24th. It's just much more about this is week 1. Like, there's no way I'm going to trust him over half the quarterbacks in the league at this point. I agree with Minshew completely. Every 2QB league that I was in, I have Minshew. He was the guy who I was like, this is my second QB. It's not like the best matchup, but every game, there's nobody behind him. It's going to be a negative game script. It's just going to be perfect for him. Very, very quickly, because I want to move on to tight end here. You've got three guys kind of right outside the range of startable quarterbacks. I'll ask you, Tag, since, you spent most of your time with Trubisky. If you had to start one, Jared Goff against the Cowboys, Matthew Stafford against the Bears, and Aaron Rodgers against the Vikings. Who are you starting from that
group? I'll go with Goff. I'm not excited about it, though. I'm really not.
Yeah.
I would actually start Trubisky over Goff this week.
I would, okay, as well.
Okay. I would not, but we know that already. All right, that's fine. Let's go to tight end. No more quarterbacks, no more Trubisky. Okay. Again, we are outside the top 12 here. I assume that Jonnu Smith is outside the top 12. So I'm just going to, yep. Yates, do you want to go right there? Just straight into start?
Yeah, the guy I'm going to throw out is Jonnu Smith. I think you should start him this week. Yeah.
Who?
Haven't talked about him before. Nope.
Okay. Where do you have him ranked, out of curiosity, Yates, if you've already gotten your rankings? Because he is 17th. In our expert consensus rankings, so I'm just wondering.
I have him at 9 this week.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Now, look, we don't need to get into it. That's crazy. I think probably every week, Jonnu Smith will be a guy who, unless he does blow up like Yates expects, he's going to be outside the top 12, and Yates would be like, that's the guy who you start outside. So let me ask you, Tags, who's somebody who you're starting if you're streaming tight end, if you waited on tight end, beyond the top 12?
Blake Jarwin.
There we go. That was the other name.
Okay.
I have him at number 8 this week.
All right, so I'm going to throw out somebody. Now, he's not, I didn't have anybody who was, I don't think anybody who was way outside the top 12 that I had, but a guy who's deeper, who I would start in deeper leagues, is Eric Ebron. You guys have teased me a little bit because I gave you that list of like my top 21 tight ends in draft season who I thought could be tight end ones, and Ebron was on a little bit. I think if there's a week that you want to go after Eric Ebron and you really waited a long time on tight end, I think it's this week. Against the Giants, they were terrible against tight ends last year. I cannot imagine they're going to be that much better this year. There was a lot of buzz about him in camp, about how good he looked and everything like that. So he's a guy who's, I believe he's 20th in half PPR expert consensus rankings. I'm 14th. So still outside the starting range for me in standard leagues. But if you're in a 15-team league, he's a guy who I'm willing to start. And if some people, because you had this a lot, drafted backup tight ends like they did quarterbacks, that is somebody who I'd be willing to roll with necessarily this week. Let's flip the script here a little bit. Let's go to our top sits. These are not guys that we're necessarily saying we want you to sit, but they're guys that we're lower on. They're within the consensus top 20 running backs that we're just a little bearish on this week. Why don't we start with you, Tags?
Yeah, it's probably Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is a guy that obviously I'm worried about because Philip Lindsay has been playing better than him in camp. He is struggling playing in that atmosphere. Tennessee is not a team that has traditionally allowed a lot on the ground. Now, they did lose Jarrell Casey this offseason, but then they bring in Jadeveon Clowney, who's just as good against the run as he is against the pass. So I am worried about Melvin Gordon. I'm worried about him walking into a 50-50 timeshare into a not great matchup. And if he doesn't get those goal line carries, it's going to be problematic. So he's someone I'm definitely worried about this week.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy. I mean, he's right on the borderline, but yeah, I'm looking for a reason to not start Melvin Gordon this week. That if I have him on my roster, that's really what I'm doing. I'm trying to find a way that I can go with someone safer because I agree that this is not a week that I'm really jonesing to get him into my lineup. How about you, Yates? So top 20 a running back that you are kind of looking to fade a little bit this week?
Yeah, Gordon was going to be my answer. The other one that I'll throw out is David Johnson, just because we don't know what version of David Johnson we're going to get on the football field. And so looking at him, yes, this matchup could be great for him as far as, you know, they're trailing and he could get some work through the receiving game, and that could inflate him to where he finishes, where he's being ranked right now, which is at RB19. But if I'm looking at my roster and I'm saying that, do I feel comfortable starting David Johnson right away, especially the first game back? You know, I'll put it this way. I would rather start Tariq Cohen over both David Johnson and Melvin Gordon this week.
Dan, I was going to ask you this question since we haven't been able to ask you questions. I would rather start David Johnson than Nick Chubb.
So Nick Chubb actually was a guy that I was going to bring up as a guy I'm fading. I was like, and I just pulled up my rankings. Nick Chubb is 17th. David Johnson is 18th. So as of right now, and again, I'm going to need to finalize this by the end of the night, because again, Johnson obviously plays on the Thursday night game. He is somebody who I'm fine playing. It would be really hard for me to get away from Chubb. Again, I'm much more conservative when I'm thinking about my start-sit decisions in week one, right? Like, I don't really want to start Chubb, but I think if I drafted him and I drafted David Johnson.
You drafted him in the first round.
Right. It's really hard for me to be like, man, you know, and I have, let's say I got, I don't know, James Conner or somebody like that, who I have ranked higher. If I'm like James Conner, David Johnson, and Nick Chubb, and I've got to bench one, I'm probably benching David Johnson. They're right next to each other, but I'm probably benching David Johnson. But Nick Chubb is the guy for me. I'm not crazy. Again, I'm 17th. I think he's 14th in ECR. I'm not actively avoiding him. It's not a great matchup. And again, Cleveland is an offense that I really want to see. It's an offense that I want to see what they actually do, what they look like. This is going to be a weird game for them, of course, because you expect them to be playing from behind. So I'm not sure whether or not we'll get a great sense of what their offense is going to look like. But of course, they just gave Hunt the 2-year extension, right? They are in on Hunt. This is not something where Stefanski came in and was like, okay, well, I got, you know, they put a second round tender on him. I need to see how it plays out. So I think tags, I mean, they're right next to each other. I'd probably start Chubb over Johnson barely, but again, it's not something that I'm particularly excited about.
I don't think people realize just how good Pittsburgh was last year. Did you know one running back scored more than 14 PPR points against them all year?
They were phenomenal.
The fact that they were 8-8, you know, and again, they didn't start off that great defensively. Uh-uh. Was it
the first
all
two
with,
weeks?
Was it the
bad.
Fitzpatrick?
Minka. Fitzpatrick, Minka. Yeah.
It was like he just complete everybody. And when they made that trade, everyone was like, "What are you doing? Like, you're not going to make the playoffs."
They made fun of it. I was like, "You're getting a proven NFL player now." If they finished like 4-12, it would have been really bad. But he obviously turned that defense around, made them a contender.
One of the many reasons why I really like Connor this year, and why Connor just kept getting up, because I think that defense is so good. And I think they're going to be so tough that I'm really just not sure, especially with Ben, given his age, given his elbow, how much they're going to need to air this out. I think there's going to be a lot of ground and pound, a lot of Connor. So that's one of the reasons why I really like him. Again, their defense, really, really good. All right, let's go to wide receiver here. Let's talk about guys who are within the top 30 in expert consensus rankings, who, you know, again, you don't need to be actively being like, I am not starting this guy under any circumstances, but who you're kind of fading with regard to ECR. Let's start with you, Tags. What do you think here?
Julian Edelman, I'm not excited to play him this week. I have him as a back end, like very, very back end, low end wide receiver 3. With Cam Newton, he traditionally hasn't targeted a wide receiver over the middle of the field. And I know that he has never had a receiver like Julian Edelman, but Edelman is now, he's up there in age, 34, 35 years old, whatever he is. Injuries add up over time. He was someone that was dealing with something throughout camp, although nothing ever happened. I just think this team wants to run the ball a lot. And I think it's going to cut down the volume for Julian Edelman. So I just would prefer to see how they operate under Cam Newton before starting Julian Edelman, because Miami suddenly has one of the best cornerback units in the league. I think that's like something that's kind of gone over a lot of people's heads, is that, you know, you look at Xavien Howard, he's still there, obviously he's been fantastic for them, but then they add Byron Jones in free agency.
Yeah, they had a big offseason,
and then they draft Noah Igbinoghi. I learned that name because Yates said it so many damn times. But it's a really good cornerback unit. They got a lot of Patriots on that defense now. They got a couple more this offseason. So Julian Edelman he's just not someone I really want to start this week.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to argue with any of that. Again, another team that I really want to see how it looks before I jump in. How about you, Yates? Within the top 30 guys, you're kind of fading a little bit.
Amari Cooper, guys. Mm. I really do not want to start Amari Cooper. And this was one of the things, Dan, we talked about it. You and I both, I can't remember where you had him ranked tags, but like Dan and I were both kind of down on Amari Cooper, especially when you factored in that he was going within the top 10 of ADP throughout draft season for the majority of draft season. I think he fell outside towards the end. When you're looking at the matchup here against Los Angeles and the Rams, you have Jalen Ramsey, who is most likely just going to be glued to Amari Cooper this entire game. And then you have Troy Hill as their second corner. He's fine, but he's nothing that's going to be able to, you know, stop Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb. And then Darius Williams, David Long Jr., those are the other guys that are now tasked with stopping Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. If Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy sit down and they say, okay, well, let's look at this matchup, especially with Amari Cooper dealing with, he's missed practices, like he's been limited in some. And we haven't seen anything else. I was looking earlier today. We haven't seen anything else about practices this week, but that was last week where he was limited and missing some practices. So then you factor that on top of it. If Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy sit down and they're smart, they say, let's let Jalen Ramsey eliminate Amari Cooper and let's abuse these other matchups. Let's take advantage of these mismatches here with Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb over the middle of the field and Blake Jarwin. Tag said he has Blake Jarwin at tight end 8. I have him right around there too, because I love his opportunity this week against the linebackers that the Rams are deploying. Micah Kizer, Troy Reader, and then you have Leonard Floyd as your strong side linebacker. Like, they're not going to be able to stop these guys. So I'm willing to let Amari Cooper fall down my starting lineup because I wasn't in on him to begin with. I'm just around my wide receiver 30 range this week, guys. I'm not excited about him at all.
Yeah, I don't think I have him. I'm just looking right now where I have him. I don't have him quite that low, but he is a guy who I'm not excited about this week. I think Ramsey, I mean, he basically shattered him last year when he covered him. I mean, I think, you know, 75% of his routes, there you guys go, were covered by Ramsey. So he's a guy who, yeah, I agree. If I have him on my roster, I don't have him that low, so I have him more like 20. So it's probably not a guy I can fully get away from, but he's certainly somebody who I'd be willing to sit this week, again, because I wasn't that high on him coming in. Let's very briefly go to quarterback here. Anybody tags within the top 12 who you're just fading a little bit this week?
Yeah, I really don't want to start Tom Brady if I don't have to in his first game at New Orleans. That secondary is deadly, man. They're good. They have a pass rush, their cornerback unit. It was just Marshawn Lattimore before, and then it was like, well, they could exploit Eli Apple. Well, Apple's gone. Janoris Jenkins stepped in at the end of the last year, and he's a number one cornerback too. They got him from the Giants because they released him due to some off the field stuff. But he's playing for them. He's playing well. They added Malcolm Jenkins this offseason. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a guy that I loved in drafts. Then he stepped in a little bit in the slot last year. Like, their defense is just so damn complete. It's difficult to love. And like, when you look at the targets in this offense and you say, Mike Evans has been completely shut down by Lattimore when they've played. Chris Godwin against Jenkins. We have to give the advantage to Godwin there, but apparently he hasn't looked the same in camp. And then you look at Gronkowski or the tight ends, and Malcolm Jenkins with the Eagles was just like shutting them down nonstop. So it's like, I don't know where these points come from. And Tom Brady obviously offers no floor with mobility. It's his first game in an offense. I would prefer to play someone with a little bit higher floor as my streamer this week.
How about Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady?
I'll take Roethlisberger, even though I have some concerns about Roethlisberger too. I'm lower on both of those guys than the consensus, but I would play Roethlisberger considering the matchup is just so much better.
Yeah, ditto. I mean, I don't love either guy, but they're right in that range of like, ooh, maybe I would start him, maybe not. But I do have Roethlisberger ranked 2 spots ahead. How about you, Yates? Somebody within the top 12? Anybody that you're fading just a little bit?
Yeah, I love the Tom Brady call there. I have him at QB 13 this week. The guy right behind him is Kyler Murray. Yep. I do not love this matchup against the 49ers defense. And when you factor in that, yes, they sent away DeForest Buckner, but then you add in Javon Kinlaw to this defensive line. And when you factor in that the Arizona Cardinals do not have a great offensive line, Kyler Murray is going to be under pressure all game. Yes, you have DeAndre Hopkins. And yes, I think he's going to be fine this week. He's a player that I'm comfortable rolling out in my starting lineup. But yet, when you have the running game that isn't going to work as well with Kenny Drake is another guy that I'm not super excited about. You know, I'm tempering expectations with him. So when you don't have that working for you and Kyler Murray is going to be under stress all day long, it's just not someone that I'm willing to roll out there. So if I can roll out a Ben Roethlisberger over Kyler Murray, I'd do it.
Yeah, I have Roethlisberger over Murray too. I mean, I have Murray 12th, so I have him lower than consensus. Again, it would be very difficult for me to have spent the draft capital I need
completely
to take Murray and then be like, sorry, man, you're out. Because he did have a good game, you know, last year against San Francisco. So he's certainly possible and his legs make anything possible. But he is somebody who I'm not that excited to start about. How about tight end here? Any top 12 tight ends? We could start with you, Yates. I feel bad. I've started with tags a few times and you are the tight end hot take of the show. So anybody within the top 12 that you're not all that jonesed to start this week?
Rob Gronkowski is still at tight end 11. When you look at, you know, the matchup here, it's not great. You are completely betting on Rob Gronkowski scoring a touchdown in order for him to return that value. Because when you're looking at OJ Howard is going to be involved on this in this offense, Cameron Brate is still going to be involved in this offense. So Gronk will see, what, 4-5 targets, and then you're hoping that he scores on that. That's just not a place that I'm really comfortable being.
That's my guy as well. How about you, Tag?
It was the same. Yeah, I have him at 21 among tight ends right now. I don't want to play Gronk if I don't have to, especially hearing that he might be third in snaps on that team, and it's not a good matchup against the Saints. It's really not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, it's one of these things where it's certainly, when I look at sort of the range of possibilities, it's in the range of possibilities because he's Gronk. He's Gronk. It's really difficult. But yeah, he's a guy, again, kind of, I think the best way to describe it is he's somebody who I don't want to have to start if I don't have to. Like, if I can find a way around it, I'm probably going to do that. If I can't, I'll roll with him. But all things considered, I'd rather avoid. All right, let's go deep sleepers really quick here, guys. These are, you know, guys who are, generally speaking, probably not necessarily being started. They're outside. Let's start with running back outside the top 36. So not even in the flex consideration at running back tags. Anybody you're looking at in that range who you're looking to start this week?
Don't take my guy.
I think Boston Scott is a guy that you should be willing to look at.
That is the correct answer, by the way. I will just say that. Yes, go ahead.
I have Matt 36, actually. Myself, ECR is at 43. Miles Sanders might be eased back into the offense. Even if Miles Sanders wasn't eased into the offense, there's definitely a clear route to 12 touches in this game for Boston Scott against Washington. So he's someone that, you know, was late round pick that you could probably start the flex.
Completely agree. I'm 34th. And he's 43rd. That's a guy who I'm perfectly willing to roll as a flex in week one. I don't see any way that he's, you know, going to, you know, be, I think he's going to have double digit touches. I think, especially given the injuries to the wide receivers. And again, the report that Miles Sanders is going to be eased in, there just aren't that many mouths. That's why Yates was talking about DeSean Jackson. So I agree. Boston Scott was my guy. How about you, Yates?
Latavius Murray. I am perfectly comfortable rolling out Latavius Murray as a flex option this week. You're talking about, again, points going up on the board in against the Saints here and this matchup against Tampa Bay. So I absolutely love Latavius Murray this week. I think that he falls into the end zone, and we've talked about it all off season, right, Tags, where I think they're going to get back to this timeshare that we saw with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara if he is fully healthy. And even if Kamara isn't fully healthy, that means more touches here for Latavius Murray. So Murray is currently RB 42 in ECR. I have him above that.
I got to be honest. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what you say, Tex. I like Latavius Murray a lot season long. You know, I tried to roster him wherever I could, but this matchup against the Bucks, I mean, you know, it was a terrible matchup last year, obviously, for running backs. I don't expect it to be a good one this year. So what do you think, out of curiosity, Tags, with Latavius Murray?
I have Latavius at 44 among running backs. No. I'm going to be a fan of him most weeks, and I do think he's going to offer a flex viability. There's a chance he falls into the end zone, but I just don't think it's likely against this team. It's really rare for a team to be great against both the pass and the run, but the Bucs allowed 3.02 yards per carry last year. That was the best in the NFL. And they played Kamara twice. They played McCaffrey twice. They shut those guys down. And then they were also one of the best through the air. I think they may have been the best, actually. 4.21 yards per target through the air. Like, a lot of teams allow more yards per carry than they allow yards per target. It's just not a great matchup for running backs. And if you go back and look at last year, Murray didn't do so well. 55 yards on 17 carries in the two games combined with no touchdowns. He was the RB 48 and RB 52 in those games. So basically, if he does not score a touchdown, he's going to bust. Where if you're relying on a touchdown, I just don't want to put him in my lineup as an RB 3 when there's other guys that have stable floors.
Yeah, I'll list the guy here that I have because he was kind of, I mean, he's a deeper guy. He's 53rd in half PPR expert consensus rankings, but he's a guy who I think I'd be willing to roll out even before Murray, and that's Darrell Williams. Like, I understand that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to lead the way, but it's his first game. Obviously, it's a game, again, where the Chiefs are favored by either 9 or 10, depending on where you look. It's probably going to have a positive game script. There are going to be a lot of rush attempts. And generally, he's produced when he's gotten, you know, double-digit touches. So I think he's probably going to see 12 touches in this game, maybe 12 to 15. I think he's, you know, probably going to be around like 60 yards-ish. And I think he's got a decent chance to find the end zone, particularly if they're playing from ahead. So he is a guy who I might be willing to roll this week. He's obviously a guy who you want to stash if he's still unowned at this point before Thursday night. Because if he has a big game, then that's going to be something. But I think for week one, when they're easing Edwards-Helaire into the mix, and I think that they're going to have a positive game script, I think it's something where he could provide.
Don't you put
value.
That evil into there that they're going to ease in Edwards-Helaire. That dude's going to rocket from day one.
All right, that's fair. But when they're up by 24 points, maybe they can probably be like, all right, fair. Take a break. That's take a fair. Break. How about wide receivers here? Let's go outside the top 50. Okay, so this is a lot of guys who are not being being started. There is a clear-cut answer in my mind to this one. But you guys let me know who you want to start with. Let's start with you, Yates. Outside the top 50 in expert consensus rankings for wide receiver.
Robbie Anderson is someone that I am finding myself plugging into my starting lineups as a flex option this week. I think that he is the number two wide receiver in this offense, and this matchup with the Raiders and Panthers could easily turn into a shootout. And so with the Panthers defense not being able to really carry this unit, the offense is going to need to do the work. And that means pass attempts. So I'm looking at Robbie Anderson and I'm saying he has the talent to take one to the house. And I love him as a flex play this week because I think he has the potential to take a big play and make it count. So Robbie Anderson is someone that I would identify here outside the top 50.
How about you, Tags, outside the top 50?
I hope we're in sync on this one. Alan Lazard, the Vikings obviously have new cornerbacks in town. They got rid of their entire starting trio is gone. They're going to be starting Mike Hughes. Holton Hill was the number two cornerback in the depth chart. And then they have two rookies in Jeff Gladney and Cameron Dantzler. But if you look at this, the Vikings, they stopped the run extremely well. They're still very good up front. Obviously adding Ngakoue is going to help them there as well, obviously. But if you look at them last year, if you're looking for a wide receiver three performance, they allowed 26 or 25 receivers posted at least 11.2 PPR points against them last year. That's the average amount it took to finish as a wide receiver three. 25 receivers hit that mark. Lazard is the clear-cut number two in this offense. I mean, some people had talked about Jay Sternberger potentially getting a bigger role in the offense, but he's actually listed as third or fourth on the depth chart. He's not starting as Robert Tonyan or Mercedes Lewis. So we have to figure out where these targets are going to go. Clearly, Davante Adams is the number one guy, but Lazard absolutely has a chance to put up top 30 numbers this week.
Yeah, the only other guy who's on my list, and again, it kind of goes to what you were saying, Yates, which is this Raiders-Panthers matchup kind of has the potential to be a little, intriguing. And that's why Bryan Edwards is a guy who I'm looking at, right? He's already moved up one spot since this morning. He was 60th. He's now 59th. I'm 50th, so I'm not running out there to start him or anything like that. But Carolina defense, very young. Basically, their entire draft was all defense. And their cornerbacks in particular, Troy Pride, Russell Douglas, Jackson, they're not the best. So I really do think, given that essentially it came out, Ruggs and Edwards are listed as the starter, they're guys who I think Edwards could be sneaky to start this week. Again, 50th, so I'm not running out to necessarily do
it. Yeah, I think he's someone that I've obviously kept my eye on. And I put this out earlier on Twitter that he's only rostered in 19% of Yahoo leagues right now. That's absurd. Mm-hmm. He needs to be rostered in your leagues. And so he's someone that I want to watch and I'm keeping an eye on this week, but he's not someone that I'm really comfortable starting week one.
Someone real deep, if you're looking for someone off the waiver wire, I don't know why anybody would look on the waiver wire right now, but if they are, Greg Ward.
Yeah.
He's actually going to be the number two behind DeSean Jackson.
I like that. All right, let's switch very quickly here to some streaming options. We basically discussed this already with quarterback. So, we mentioned Trubisky. Tags, you mentioned Minshew as well. You mentioned Tyrod Taylor, Yates. Is there anybody else here who's deep that you think could be a sleeper that we haven't already touched on? It's fine if the answer is no. But is there anybody out there that we haven't touched on that you think could be a good streamer this week for people who have ignored quarterback in their drafts?
Derek Carr would be the only other one that I would throw out there as a possibility, but I'm not super excited about him. Just again, we talked about this Carolina defense is young and inexperienced, and he can take advantage of it with the weapons that he's got at his disposal now. But again, that's not someone that I'm like, yeah, you need to start Derek Carr.
Yeah, and I assume Tags, you're good. You want to talk about Mitch Trubisky again?
No, I'm good.
You're good? You're good? Okay. How about defense, guys? Obviously, this is what we kind of have preached all offseason, which is when you're drafting a team and you're waiting on a defense, for the most part, look at the week one matchup. So who are the defenses and special teams units that you're trying to stream this week?
I think the Chiefs are a decent team to stream if they're available. Houston,
Eagles.
I mean, even if Deshaun Watson puts up points, he's going to get sacked quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Eagles, you said, Yates. That's obviously a good one.
Eagles is one of my favorites.
They're my number two defense. I just figured that they were probably owned, but yeah.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I don't necessarily know if they are. We preached as a whole, they may not have been a top 12 unit coming in. So people, who don't employ that strategy are going to be looking. I mean, I might like the Colts against the Jaguars too. Nothing crazy, but it's somebody I have as a top 12 defense. And again, the Chargers, I assumed that they were drafted, but it seems like they were, even without, James, they've got, two or three more weeks before they succumb to the rash of injuries that they have every single year anyway. So for
that's
now,
that's sad, Dan.
It is. I was joking about it on our betting podcast where I was like, I kind of lean towards the over with the Chargers. And legitimately, Matt, you know, when we talked about it, Matt Peralt, my co-host, was sort of like, those are all great points, but you forget they're legitimately cursed. And then 2 minutes after he said that, Derwin James got injured and was out for the season. No, it's terrible. I love the Chargers. I think they could be a sneaky, really, really good team this year. I just hope they can stay healthy. But their defense, even without James, is going to be really strong. And especially now you've got a rookie quarterback. As much as I like Burrow in his first game, I think it's definitely, if they are unowned, and again, I think they were drafted in most places, but if they're unowned, they're a team that I wouldn't mind getting.
The only other one that I'll just throw out really quick is the Tennessee Titans. Titans against Denver and Drew Lock. Yeah, he has weapons now, but he's still an inexperienced quarterback. Let's not ignore that. And now you add in Jadeveon Clowney to this mix where he can shut down Melvin Gordon, right? Because Jadeveon Clowney, people will point to his numbers as far as from a sack perspective, and it'll be like, oh, he's not a good edge rusher. No, that's not true at all. Like, he's phenomenal against the run. And so you add him into this already stout unit with some great corners. I think that it could be a game where we see Drew Lock turn the ball over a couple times.
Yeah, I do think that it's possible that, you know, the Broncos, I do like their offense long term. I think it's probably going to take a little while for them to gel. So I don't think necessarily, especially if you have a pretty strong defensive unit going up against them in the early part of the season, it's not a bad idea, I'm saying, to stream against them. All right, guys, very quickly, let's do a Thursday night preview, okay? We have touched on some of the players already here in this game with the Texans against the Chiefs. Let's start with the Chiefs. You are obviously starting Patrick Mahomes. You are starting Tyreek Hill. You are starting Travis Kelce. You're starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Out of curiosity, where do you have him ranked in your half PPR weekly rankings?
5-7.
So you guys are just all in. You think he's just getting the big workload right from the start, mm-hmm. and that's it.
100%.
No questions asked.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough. I am not quite as
go home
bullish
go
on
home,
him.
Woody.
I mean, I love Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I love his season-long outlook. I think he's going to be very good on Thursday night, but I have him 11th because I do think that there is going to be something. Again, the game script, I think they're going to factor in Darrell Williams. I don't think it's going to be here's, you know, 20 touches, 25 touches necessarily. Maybe again, he's an RB1, but 5-7, a little too high for me. But either way, we're all starting him. So let's talk about the receivers not named Tyreek Hill. Is there any chance you guys want to take a shot? They were in my list of guys outside the top 50 who might be a little intriguing this week on Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins. What about you, Tags? Either one of these guys, if you're in a deep league, do you think about starting in a pinch?
Sammy, you could start in a pinch. I'm fine with that. I have him listed at 49 among wide receivers. Hardman, no. Hardman was a guy that I was like drafting right around the same territory as Sammy Watkins because you knew the potential upside if Tyreek Hill were to miss some time. But knowing that they listed him as the kick returner, punt returner, that means he's back to that duties, which means he's not heavily involved in the offense because there were conversations this offseason where they were going to take him off that and involve him more in the offense. And then all of a sudden he was put back on it by some beat reporters. And I was like, that can't be good, right? So you can't trust him right now at all. He might walk out of this game with 2 targets.
Okay. All right. How about you, Yates? Are you willing to take your shot on either of these guys, Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins?
It's the same argument that Tech said, that I think you can start Sammy Watkins in a pinch, but then with Hardman, you are absolutely just putting him into your flex spot and crossing your fingers and hoping that he scores a touchdown. And I don't think that you need to be in that spot week 1. That's where you get to like later down the road and we hit like week 12 where bye weeks are, you know, an insane thing. So that's where I think then you can take that shot with Mecole Hardman. But week 1 out of the gate, I don't think you need to do that.
All right, let's go to the other side here. With the Texans, you're obviously starting Deshaun Watson. We talked about David Johnson already. Yates, he was a guy who I think you said you had on the quote-unquote sit side, but is he still in the RB2 range for you?
He's just outside there. So again, I think based on where you drafted him to, I don't think he was being drafted as a running back 3 in some instances. So I don't think that you necessarily have to start him. I would recommend looking elsewhere just because he does come with some volatility. I completely disagree with Tag saying that he would start David Johnson over Nick Chubb. I'm not there. So I think David Johnson is a guy who absolutely could. But if we are projecting a negative game script, I think it's going to be Duke Johnson on the field rather than David Johnson. So that's something to consider, too.
I feel like I think it's going to be Duke Johnson on the field has been like the mantra for 3 years.
Oh, for sure.
It's like the 2020 thing, right? And it happens. Right.
Okay. Will, you're starting Will Fuller, right, guys? I mean, if you have him rostered, you're starting,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Okay. What about Brandon Cooks? Now, he obviously missed time. I think it was a quad. Yeah. Is that what it was for practice? Let's say, I mean, look, it's Thursday game. Let's say he reports our full go. Okay, he is good to go. Everybody says, no, more of a maintenance thing, good, fine to go. Are you starting him against the Chiefs tomorrow night, Tex?
I don't think you have to. I think there's other options like an Anthony Miller, I'd start over him. Cooks is obviously dealing with a quad injury in his first game with the team. There were already concerns there. And then if you look at the Chiefs last year, they were much better than anyone wants to give credit to. They allowed just 122 receiving yards per game to wide receivers. That's not good. I mean, they do have Bashaud Breeland, who's suspended for this game, so they're already missing some depth. But knowing that Brandon Cooks is already dealing with something, I'm just going to use this as a reason to bench him. I would have actually liked him a little bit more as like a high-end wide receiver four that had more upside than most guys in that mix, but this injury has me concerned. If he practices in full for the next, well, he doesn't even matter because this is short week. So, no,
correct.
Brandon Cooks, I'm gonna try and find an excuse not to play him this week.
How about you, Yates? I mean, you were the one I remember in a mock draft. You took Randall Cobb, right? You were all over it. Is there anybody else on the Texans wide receivers
that you're thinking of starting? I think if you're in a pinch, again, and this is kind of the thing where you're saying, and the reason why I liked Randall Cobb was because he was going in like the, 15th, 16th round. So I think if Brandon Cooks is limited, right? If he comes into this game with a questionable tag and they're saying that he didn't practice, you know, today, Wednesday, right? Then I think you can start Randall Cobb. Let's say that you have Brandon Cooks on your roster, and that was kind of your main guy that you were relying on to be your wide receiver three or your flex spot. I think you can move Brandon Cooks to like your IR spot if he does get designated as out, and pick up Randall Cobb and start him in a pinch. But Cobb is not someone that I'm sitting here saying that, yeah, and I'm pounding the table saying that you have to start him this week.
Don't feel bad, Yates. On a podcast that I recorded this morning, I said Ronald Fournette.
There you go.
They are the same player. If you could combine both of them, you would have like a borderline
all
RB2.
All my headaches.
You'd have a borderline RB2.
That's right. If you combine, there it is. There's the Harris tagline. All right. If you combine Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, you'd have a borderline RB2. That's my hot take. All right, boys. Good first start sit episode of the season. I am jazzed, man. I am so ready. I am so excited. Tomorrow night, we will be watching football. It's going to be amazing. Really appreciate it. Tags and I are going to be talking about some DFS tomorrow. Yates and I are going to be breaking down every single game on the Friday episode. And then, of course, Tags and I will be back with the Sunday night recap show. Again, that is going to be live streamed over at youtube.com/fantasypros. So you will get done with your afternoon games, immediate fantasy advice if you come check us out. Don't forget to subscribe over there and click the notification button so you get notified whenever we go live. Now, before we go, remember, use our Start Sit assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Go to fantasypros.com/offers for a special $10 offer for 6 months of our Hall of Fame package. Don't forget to check out Pristine Auction, where you can bid and browse for free on any one of their thousands of daily auctions. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And don't forget FanDuel. Remember, go to fanduel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. Sign up. And FanDuel is going to give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win prizes. And if you make a deposit, you can get up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Again, FanDuel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app. We will be back tomorrow, as I said, with our DFS show, and we'll talk to you then.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.